With Hurricane Irma approaching, we've got Fire Chief Jerome Gaines and Leon County Emergency Manager Kevin Peters talking with us about staying prepared. Dave Murphy, a longtime music producer for many of the folks that you and I love so much. And Miriam Dady's got another guest in the business spotlight, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations, right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services, for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press, commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Well, my friend, we are faced with the approaching storm, Hurricane Irma, in her relentless pursuit of Florida. The latest models, as we are here on Saturday, have gone a little bit further in our favor. We hope that all of you are well prepared for what may lie ahead. In any case, Tallahassee will not be able to come out of this completely untouched. When you have a storm that's, 400 miles across, pretty much that's enough to bring to us those outer bands. And sometimes those outer bands can be quite ferocious and can bring some great damage. So be vigilant, be aware, and it's certainly be courteous in your preparations. There have been a lot of stories through the week of people that in their panic have acted rather uncivilly, have been rather ungracious in their approach, and no need for that. We are a strong community, and we are a good community that knows best how to care for one another. It would be a shame to think that we couldn't do as well as our neighbors to the west of us. I think we've all found ourselves realizing that, you know, no matter what we face, we can do this thing together. And while we prepare ourselves with extra food and water and gas and supplies, maybe we should be prepared to extend to one another an extra measure of patience and kindness. Maybe we just decide we're going to wait our turn in line, right? Maybe we allow the other person to go ahead of us. You know, if you're waiting for gas, I mean, laying on the horn is probably not the most courteous thing to do. Take a breath. Our Texan neighbors have reminded us all our greatest natural resource remains our willingness to extend ourselves beyond our own self-concerns. I mean, being adequately prepared to help one another and continuing to support one another by extending these common courtesies and the sharing of solutions as they occur to us, it may require that we stock up with extra personal prayer and some reflection more than bottled water. I mean, you know, maybe we need to step back just a moment and realize it ain't all about me. It's about us. And keeping an eye on our neighbors is not a bad thing. Being prepared to help them or respond with some desire and determination if it requires of us some personal sacrifice, if needed. That's a resource that none of us can afford to be without. So I would admonish you, my friend, while we are doing our very best to be as practical as we can and as smart as we can be in our preparations, make sure you have a plan of action. Yes, it's great to have an adequate supply of water and food and such stocked up. But take some time with yourself and perhaps with your family, your loved ones, and reflect a bit. Now think about what other people around you are having to deal with. You know, maybe your folks are not in a tough situation medically, but maybe your neighbor's mom is on dialysis. And maybe that backup plan they have for a portable generator, well, what happens if the portable generator is submerged? I mean, what if the plan they had in place fails? Now what? It really just comes back down to you and I being resourceful enough and being prepared enough in our own attitudes about this community and about one another. That's going to make the difference, I think. That's what's making the difference for Houston and all of the other communities in Texas that have absolutely been devastated by what could not have been imagined, and yet that unimaginable happened. We are no less subject to that kind of thing here, and so we shouldn't find ourselves insulated in some respects, but nor should we hit the panic button and become self-concerned to the point where it's a dog-eat-dog sort of situation. We're not about that. We are about caring for one another, and let our legacy be that rather than it being something that is shameful. I would encourage you to stay plugged into county and city resources. A real great way to do that is to go to our website, TallahasseePrepared.com, where we've done a kind of compilation. We pulled together a number of resources for you in terms of helpful information, direct links to some of these county and city officials' offices, Red Cross, all kinds of helpful information that you'll find, along with a host of businesses that provide services or materials that you might find needful. And so that's a great sort of starting place, a good sort of watershed of information and resource that you can use, TallahasseePrepared.com. It's brought to you by Tallahassee Family Magazine and a number of other sponsors that you'll see listed there on the website. And by the way, one of those is our dear friends at Widen Glass, who suffered a loss earlier in the week with the passing of their grandmother, basically. This is the woman who was married to Jack Widen, who started the company back in 1945. And Grandma Widen was, I think, 97, 98 years old, about to celebrate her next birthday here in October. She did pass earlier in the week, and so we extend our deep felt sympathies and our prayers to the family, the Widen family, that has been a big part of this community for so many years. Jack Widen was a county commissioner for a long time, county or city commissioner, I think, for many, many years, and served this community well. So our thoughts for the Widen family on this occasion. Folks, we are about the business of bringing you the best that Tallahassee has to offer. We're going to do that here in today's show. We hope that you'll stay with me through the entire 2 hours, because I've got in this first hour a conversation with a guy named Dave Murphy. Holy smokes, this guy. If you love Tallahassee music, you need to know Dave Murphy, because he's one of those people who has been pulling all the levers and the chains and pushing all the buttons. He is a remarkably talented engineer, music producer, has worked with some of the very biggest names in music at large, as well as those that you and I recognize here locally, people like Jerry Thigpen and let's see, who else? Pierce Pettis, a number of Eric Durant's, These are folks that have become rather well known for their part, but there's a host of others too. Belmont and Jones that you may know. He's going to be with us for the second half of this first hour of the show. Talk to us about his career and his experience. I think he's got a couple of tunes that he's brought with us, so we'll get to hear a couple of those songs that he was personally responsible for producing. I think you'll find that very enjoyable. Also want to remind you that if you have ever thought, gosh, I missed that opportunity, I want to hear more about what is going on in Tallahassee, well, all of the shows are archived for you there at the website, TallahasseeTalks.com. And a real clever thing to do is to subscribe to the podcast so you can pull that in on your smartphone and it'll update every time you open up your podcast app, right? And then you've got all of those being downloaded to your phone and stored for you. It's a neat thing to do. Stay in tune. Stay in touch. That's why we're here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
I love my Volvo. That's why I love Volcar. They take care of my Volvo the way I do. But my husband doesn't drive a Volvo. Good news, Volcar cares for all cars, and they give the same extra attention to detail and the same qualified precision every car requires. New or not so new, Carol and her team at Volcar are some of my most favorite people. She makes it a lot easier to understand what's going on with my car. And I trust her. And I think my husband does too, especially when he saw they charge less than his mechanic for the same service. So we're just one big happy family. Me, my Volvo, and my husband. With a little help from our friends at Volcar.
Volcar Sales and Service on Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Miccosukee in Tallahassee. Volcar for all cars on the web at volcartally.com or call 942-4980. 942-4980.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for Tallahassee Business Spotlight, brought to you by Tiffany Hamilton.
Hello, everyone. It's Miriam Dady. It's Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I promised you that I would have Bill Fredericks with Frequency XP back again to talk about all of us getting in better shape, the way we eat, the way we move, the way our body responds, and I am delivering. Bill, thanks for being back with me.
Thank you for having me back.
So Frequency XP, where we left off, you said that, if I'm getting this right, we could design a workout, a kind of a plan for my health.
Mm-hmm.
The way I sleep, the way I eat, the way I work out on a frequent basis.
Mm-hmm.
I could take some of the burden of operation, bring it to the gym myself, operate according to the plan that's set up,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Have monitors,
mm-hmm.
and do it for less money than having a personal trainer.
Absolutely.
Okay, tell me about that. How do you make that work?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously with groups, you get more people through the door.
Right.
The more people, then you can charge a little bit less per mm-hmm. class. So
right.
you're getting the same experience because you have a detailed plan in place for you, which I think is the biggest part. You can, like, plan to have a plan or plan to fail. That's a great sort of adage that's out there.
So the plan comes first.
Absolutely.
If I walk in the door, I make an appointment.
Mm-hmm. We're going to do a full assessment of you.
I get you.
We're gonna take the time to get to know you, because if I don't know your body, I don't know the best way to treat it. And that's a series of questions I like to know. Like, I can look at labs. I understand reading labs in terms of blood lipid levels, some of the enzyme levels that they do in a complete metabolic scan. So, you know, I'm not there to diagnose a disease. I'm not there to, if it's something serious that a physician needs to do. But what I can do is I can look at the patterns of the way your body is responding to the stimulus that you're giving to it, the types of food you're eating, the amount of activity you're doing, and we can make some really good decisions about how to proceed from there.
What age groups do you work with?
I work with a variety of age groups. I have some athletes. I have some three baseball players that I work with. And then I have a few ladies that are in their 60s, 70s, and then everything kind of in between. So
right.
I work with a variety of things. And again, what I do is I take a style of fitness, which is sport fitness. Sometimes they call it neuromuscular because we're using the entire body. and I can adapt it up and down based on what that individual needs. So I can take a standard sport fitness technique like a power clean, and you know, I know a lot of people are kind of groaning when they hear that, but you can take that and you can modify it down to something that, you know, someone who is not an elite athlete can do and still get sort of the same benefit and feel different about their workout than just really taking it so far down that it's almost like they're not quite getting enough stimulus to change. Right. And it's usually amazing.
Is the workout, does it involve a lot of equipment? Is it a circuit? How does it work?
It's based off of something I call a quad. It's more or less what the science calls a giant set. So have you ever heard of supersetting before?
No.
Okay, supersetting is when you do two exercises back to back with no rest.
Oh, okay.
Now a giant set is why two? Let's put four. Okay. But okay. What you do is you take those four exercises and you can use a variety of ways to sort of stagger them. You could do a push-pull. So if I am working push muscles, you know, say you're pushing a door open, you're using different muscles than if you're pulling the door open.
Correct.
So I can mix and match those. I can do upper lower. I can make you do an upper body exercise next to a lower body exercises. But the idea is that you work the entire time, but we are programming it out so that the entire body is stimulated, not just one muscle region. Nothing gets lost in translation with it. You're getting a full body workout, which tends to drive change more than anything, because we get that real big metabolic burst in the body that seems to drive adaptation.
What kind of equipment do you use?
I use mostly free weights.
Uh-huh.
It's going to look kind of like what you would see in a strength and conditioning facility for, okay, say, you know, Florida State football or things like that.
Right.
But I also incorporate some unique things. Like, I like doing a lot of agility exercises. So I have some agility equipment like cones that we can place, an agility ladder, hurdles. And the idea for some of those things is to get you thinking about the movement that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, when you're presented with a very random movement that you need to make, say you have to sidestep something when you're walking through a busy area, you know, that's not something that's normally trained, but yet if you don't train it, that could lead to a slip and a fall.
Right.
So you can take that and just train it a little bit. Uh-huh. It helps with balance. It helps with just regular function. You're able to absorb a very random situation in mechanically that might otherwise be a dangerous situation.
Yeah. So if I went through the whole interview,
mm-hmm,
questionnaire,
mm-hmm,
do you do blood work? Do you do that kind of thing?
I don't do blood work. I do encourage people to bring their blood work if they can.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, I can't diagnose a disease. That's not my realm.
Right.
But what I can do, and even if you had, say, like a past injury, like a knee or an ankle, I can look at an MRI. I know enough about those things to make some assumptions. One would allow me to, okay, well, this exercise, you had a shoulder issue.
Okay.
Over the head movements are not going to be a very good idea. We need to work around that to make sure we're still strengthening the joint, but we're not compromising and causing another injury. So,
okay,
so we can look at all of that.
If I get there and I've done all of that with,
mm-hmm,
you, you've designed a plan for me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I have a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to come 5 times over the course of a week.
Mm-hmm.
Do I meet with you? Do I meet with someone there? Do I do it independently?
A mixture of both. So for private training, generally, you know, we do about 2 to 3 times a week with a person.
Okay.
But that's not to say you're not going to work out other days, because we're going to give you the tools to do it on your own when you're not with us. And that allows people to sort of get more compliant. And that's the big thing with any kind of fitness or diet program is compliancy.
Yeah.
And I think the industry has put a lot of roadblocks into compliancy. And what I've been trying to do is take some of those roadblocks away so you can get that all important workout in that 30 to 45 minutes of activity. But we're going to give you the plan to get to based on what it is that you're looking for goal wise. We're going to give you that information so that you have the best chance to be successful.
I like it, Bill. I think that's great. I like that you are making it such a small hunk of time. You're not taking 90 minutes of my day. You're taking a half,
exactly,
hour or so.
You can do 30 minutes. Anybody,
yeah,
can.
It's
intense. I mean, the workouts, even when you go to the lower level ones, they're still intense. You're gonna get a sweat. You're gonna,
right,
feel like you're working. but they're not undoable. And I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, any kind of stress that we perceive does tend to make us shy away from something. So, you know you're going into the dentist and your jaw's going to hurt. You're going to be a little bit gun shy going into the dentist. And people get that way about fitness, and that deters activity. This, it makes it more fun, more fresh.
Okay.
You're never going to know what's going to happen. That's what makes it fun.
Folks, we have our work cut out for us. We have no more excuses. Frequency XP. Where is it?
Railroad Square.
Fun.
The address is 1006 Commercial Drive. Railroad Square is a great place. They've been awesome. I think it fits my philosophy. I have always thought of myself more of an artist than just a personal trainer or exercise physiologist. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think that everybody needs to go at least take a tour of the gym. Thank you, Bill, for being here.
Thank you very much for having me again.
And for Tallahassee Business Spotlight, I'm Miriam Dady. I'm out.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
As you know, we are quite fond of what makes Tallahassee's music scene remarkably unduplicated. There are various members of this, we'll call it music community, that have contributed sizably for decades. They're like wizards. And we have one of those wizards with us here this morning. Dave Murphy, by all accounts, is a musical craftsman. So let's welcome him to the show. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thank you for being here.
I'm delighted to be here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is exciting.
And you haven't even cashed the check yet, so I feel good now. There comes down to it, this business of taking somebody who may be very talented, you know, and then because of the skills that Dave brings, he takes what is the engineering part of this and makes magic. Dave, it's said of you that you are a gifted engineer. I'm going to embarrass you here. And there are many gifted engineers, but when it comes to Dave Murphy, he is in a grouping by himself. I'm reading from my notes here. This is
okay.
This is apparently on the internet, so it must be true. It says, what sets Dave apart is his ability to listen and then articulate what he's hearing. He'll hear things that you may miss as an artist and then apply your best work out of you. That's what a great craftsman does. So these are the kinds of things that are being said about Dave, and you've been doing this now for a while. I think you told me you were not originally from Tallahassee.
Yeah, no, I'm originally from Vero Beach, Florida. I grew up there. My parents owned a music store. So from a young age, I started out in the music store. They rented band instruments. I would pick up these instruments. Our family vacations were going to these NAMM shows, the Music Association shows. And while other kids had sports figure posters on their walls, I had pictures of Moog synthesizers.
And you've been in a kind of partnership with Pete Winter for many years, too.
Yeah, our studios are in Midtown. I'm part of the my studios are affiliated with the MediaWorks production group, which is Pete Winter and Winterstone Sound and Glenn Sharon, MediaWorks.
Yeah. What a formidable trio you are. Scary good, we'd say. And being in Midtown, and being as connected as you are to this music community. I mean, folks, just sitting here and talking with Dave before the show, rattling off all of the greats that Tallahassee has produced over the years, Pierce Pettis among them, Eric Durance, and you've produced a lot of these people's music.
I've been fortunate to produce some of them. To correct you, I didn't produce the new 76ers record.
You did not, okay.
No, Chris Klopp at Log Cabin did, and he's a wonderful engineer.
All right, well, we'll take that one off your list then, so you don't get credit.
No, I work with Kelly and Danny on other projects. I bring them in.
I see.
Danny is an excellent pedal steel player. He plays
really
kind of like a Daniel Lanois, very moody kind of a style, and I use him a lot for that. Kelly's a wonderful singer.
Now, in your own right, you have written and produced some of your own music. Right,
I have over time some, but I have found that I'm my own worst client.
So, you take care of all of these other musicians that we enjoy so much, and what a marvelous litany of creation you've done. And I'm telling you, folks, just reading through some of the very few that Dave brought me this morning, it is the who's who. We're going to take a moment here in the show and let you listen to one of these. This is a song by Ed Bradley. Tell us about this. It's called I See the Moon.
It's called I See the Moon. I worked with Ed a few years back, a couple years ago. Ed came to me, and he had spent a period of time a few decades ago living in Woodville, sort of as a hermit. He had a house that was $100 a month, and during a two-year period, he'd go for a month and not see anyone, and he would write all this material, and he decided to make an album of the material from that period. And he called in a lot of his friends from the music community, people like the late great guitar player Scott Campbell, Kelly Goddard, Danny Goddard, a lot of great players, a guitar player named Jim Evans, who was here, who lives in Gainesville now.
Right.
And I got involved with the project and sort of became co-producer. I started laying down bass tracks, and that led to putting other tracks on.
Yeah.
And I think that the record really turned out, it was a very special record from this period of time. This particular track, I See the Moon, is very swampy. It's very nighttime. And it's Ed on vocals and guitar and percussion. It has Scott Campbell with slide, a blues guitar, and guitar textures. I'm playing a bass, but it has a whammy bar on it.
Okay.
So it's got this kind of a sound.
Yeah.
And then Kelly Goddard is doing background vocals
on it. Let's take a listen. This is Ed Bradley, I See the Moon.
She sees the moon.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
When you look at Tallahassee, and you've been here a long, long time, decades, I think you said you got here in 82.
Correct.
Music business has changed remarkably.
Very much.
In Tallahassee, particularly. In the early days, people like Steve Meisberg and Del Suggs battling to try to get local officials to see their way clear to do something like a 4th of July celebration or a Winterfest where, oh my goodness, local musicians actually get paid to play at these festivals, and yet they got all this pushback. It's just astounding to me.
Yeah, I think a lot of credit to the late Steve Meisberg, former mayor of Tallahassee, and to Del Suggs for championing music in support of the local music community in Tallahassee being officially sponsored by the city and the county for events. Oh. There was a time where Winterfest didn't exist, where there wasn't a venue for local musicians in the music community to play for the public and to have that be sponsored by our city. And now we can't imagine life without Winterfest, right, or Springtime Tallahassee or the 4th of July celebrations that showcase local talent.
From your perspective, the venues that we're, I mean, beyond the festivals, then you have these little venues like Blue Tavern that's just opened up there, right, in Midtown, right?
Right. Wonderful venue.
Yeah?
Why? Yeah, that's it's an interesting thing. That was opened by a dear friend of mine, Charlie Engstrom, who is a film composer and part of the Belmont and Jones Blues.
Okay. That you've also produced.
Yes. I've done two records for Belmont and Jones. Wow. Charlie and I became friends when Charlie's a film composer, and we worked on three of the Victor Nunes movies together.
Yeah.
The first one we did was Ruby in Paradise with Ashley Judd, and then we did Yuli's Gold with Peter Fonda.
Wow.
And then the last one was Coastlines. Hmm. And so they decided to open this club in Midtown, and I didn't get it at first, but when I went in, I got it.
No. And we've heard from local musicians for a long time, woefully, they don't get paid well in Tallahassee. Danny Bedrosian here a few weeks ago talking about going to Thomasville and getting paid twice what he'd get paid to do the same gig here in Tallahassee.
It's an interesting thing. You know, it costs, what, $14 to go to the movies or $12 to go to the movies. Most other towns you go to or cities or college towns, Athens, Austin, these areas, I mean, it's fair to pay $5 or $10 to go see live original music in a club. I'm not sure how that happened. I think it happened in the 70s with club owners competing for college students. And it really devalued the music community and in just trying to get students who don't have a lot of money to get them into the clubs with free cover charges. And then you can't. That there were exceptions to that. There was a club owned by Martin Hayes called Finales. Very good to bands.
Yeah, I remember. There have been some delightful exceptions. Maybe we're seeing a resurgence of that and less of this schism then. Or maybe it's just the local community growing up a bit and realizing we have some great music here. And just because you're not, 21 years old, 22 years old, going to college, you too can enjoy music. So.
Yeah, I think we're also seeing what I would call alternative venues springing up. Places like the Miccosukee Land Co-op, Listening Room, House Parties, other sorts of events, and then other...
B-Sharps, another example.
Yeah, B-Sharps, right? other venues valuing live music and creating those venues.
Well, we've got one more song that we want to bring to the audience here. This is called Let It Go, and from an artist called Fuse. Tell us about this song.
This is really interesting. I had some friends call me who owned a studio here in town, and they said... We have this band that we've heard. They've come into the studio, and we think they're really good, and would you be interested in producing this record? I said, well, I'll come over and give a listen. And it was a young band. I think they were out of high school just a few years, and they were called Fuse. And it was my introduction to this fellow, Eric Durance, who was just a couple years out of high school. And I heard this band, and I said, wow, these guys are really good. And this Eric guy is a fantastic singer.
Yeah.
So we worked on this record. It was actually, interestingly, I made the transition. I'm sort of this crossover engineer. I started out my recording career with reel-to-reels and doing 8, 16, 24-track tape. And then switched over to the digital audio Pro Tools.
Yeah.
This was one of the first albums in high definition done in the Pro Tools format. So it was one of the first computer records I did. I won't go back. I love the sound of analog, but I'm firmly in the digital world. And so we did this record using Pro Tools. Eric since went on to get signed to on Wind Up Records, which was the same record label Creed and Evanescence, and has had a wonderful career. Now he is back here playing with the Tobacco Road Band.
Yeah, yeah, having a good time. Folks, from the early days of the career that Dave Murphy has been so skillfully carrying out over these many years, this band Fuse with Eric Durance, the song Let It Go. So let's take a listen. We're going to say goodbye to Dave. Thanks for being here today. It's been a pleasure to have you. Will you promise to come back and bring
us more stories? I certainly will. Delighted to be here. Thanks.
Folks, we've got this song, and then we'll be back after the top of the hour. So here again, Fuse and Let It Go.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for over 70 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are in the second hour of this here fine radio show. Glad you stayed with me. I've got Fire Chief Jerome Gaines with me talking about staying prepared throughout the year and in the face of Hurricane Irma. Yeah, we better make sure that we've gone through our checklists at least twice. I said to you in the first hour, let's not take this as an opportunity to become even more self-oriented, self-centered, but look across the way and say, you know, how can I better assist someone else, even if that's just being courteous. I mean, you know, trying to pull into cut people off so that you can get your 5 gallons of gas. Not cool, man. You know better than that. We think your mama taught you better than that. But in the fact that we have this opportunity to be prepared means not just to stock up on water, but maybe it's to stock up on the kind of thinking and the sentiment and the humility, frankly, that says, I don't always have to be number one. I just need to be in line, and I need to wait patiently as I take my turn. There's something very redeeming about that. And if nobody else notices that, you will notice. And I want to tell you something. You're worth it. You are worth being that way. Because after all, you're the one that's got to live with you most always. More than anyone else, you got to live with yourself. And if you do that in a manner that you stop and think, yeah, that was a good thing I did for that person. And maybe it was refraining from something you would have otherwise screamed across the way. And we're all guilty of it. Sure, it's easy to fire off some profanity or expletive of some kind, or maybe we just decide to look the other way when somebody really could use some help. So many of you have posted on our Facebook page this week the things that you've noticed, just people being courteous with one another, helping each other out, sharing an umbrella, for heaven's sakes. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with please and thank you. How about the people in the stores that are trying to stock all those shelves and the cashiers that are trying to deal with it as best they can, and yet because they happen to be out of some item that you think you absolutely have to have, you know, they get the brunt of your nastiness. Well, come on. Be sure that you take the moment to say, hey, thank you for hanging in there with us. We are all in this together. And the more that we recognize that, I think the better off we're going to be. We found that to be true in our conversation with Dave Murphy in this first hour of the show, when we talk about the Tallahassee community really coming together and that subset of the community, the musical community, recognizing one another in a way that is supportive and is determined to bring to us the best music that can be brought. And we're doing our part with our radio station, Moose Magnificat, is our online radio station that does what? One thing, local musicians playing their original songs. That's the notion. And as we grow in that, and people like Dave Murphy and many of you who are involved in music bring us those original recordings, bring us your music, well, then all of us benefit because we get to better understand and experience what is the sound of Tallahassee. You know, these things happen over time. It's organic, and it should be. It's not imposed. Somebody didn't cook up some kind of marketing label and slap it on us. We really find our own way in life, and we begin to discover the things that really best define us. Dr. Viet Bui, who is with us in segment six of the show today, I mean, this is what I'm talking about. The medical community, the music community, the business community, our educational system, our parks and recreation. Folks, we are given so much in this town. I think a word of thanks is appropriate. And if you don't do that with anybody else, at least do it with yourself and with your God. Take a moment and say, hey, thank you for the breath that I breathe, the life that I live, the people that are around me. It's a lot, folks. If we don't know that by now, well, we're just not paying attention. And you know what? It can take one storm, and a lot of that can be taken from us very quickly. Talk to the people in Texas about what they're having to trudge through, and it will be years for them in recovery. All right, so the things that matter most then are not the things you hold in your hand. They're the things you hold in your heart, and they're going to be the people that are there for you when everything else has fallen apart. Those are the people you want to pay attention to, and make sure you're one of those people for them. All right. So that's my admonition to you. I want to tell you too, we've got a lot of great things going on around town. Kind of gotten off track here because I'm kind of preaching at you, but come on, man, this is the time at which we have the opportunity to step up. Here's another step we can take. All right. How about that segue? So this is a fundraiser for an Alzheimer's project. Now, it's coming up in November, the 5th and 6th, but I promised these good folks that I would get started now in promoting this event. So this is Walk, Run, Golf, and it's intended to benefit our friends at Alzheimer's Project, and it happens Sunday, the 5th of November at beautiful Cascades Park from 1 to 3. That's called the Forget Me Not Walk. All right. And then on that same day at 4:30 at Myers Park, there's going to be the Rex Cleveland Magic Mile. So you can walk, you can run. Or on the 6th, which would be that Monday of November, then Cliff Hinkle Round to Remember. And that's a golf tournament there. And they start on Monday, November 6th. At 8 o'clock registration, and a shotgun start at 9. So all of that going on. I'll bring you more of that information as we go forward, but I wanted to get that on the calendar for you right now. And, of course, in this preparation for the things that we're dealing with Hurricane Irma, we really want to do two things. I've got Fire Chief Jerome Gaines. He's going to talk with me about staying prepared throughout the year for severe weather. So it's at times like this, things are, of course, very, very intense. A lot of concern about the magnitude of what we face. At the same time, there are things that go on throughout the year that involve people like Kevin Peters, who is Leon County Emergency Management Director. He will be with us at the same time. He and Chief Gaines will talk with me about this business of staying alert, staying prepared, having a plan of action, no matter what you're facing. And a lot of times we become complacent, don't we? So we're here to say, stay on guard, be sensible, don't wait until the last minute to stock up, have a supply of non-perishable food items or water already there. So you're not running out the grocery store because, you know, the Weather Channel's told you there's a hurricane coming. You need to have that spread out over 12 months. Think in terms of always being vigilant in your preparedness so that if nothing else, you have the resource to share with someone else who may not have been as thoughtful in preparation. It's the way we best serve one another, my friend. And as we do that, we continue to grow closer to one another and grow as a community. That's what we're about here. I've got Dr. Bui coming up here in segment six, and you will enjoy having this conversation with Kevin Peters and Fire Chief Jerome Gaines in the last portion of the show. So you stay with me, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hey folks, welcome back to Trucking Car Concepts. It is tailgate season. It's time to secure your tailgate items. We can do that with the tonneau covers. We do alarm systems, both in the bed and the vehicle itself. And we also do camper shells or toppers. Not only that, let's dress your truck up. We got Nerf bars, we do window tinting, car stereos. Bringing out the tailgate pong. Everybody loves to play tailgate pong. Come on down to Trucking Car Concepts and get yourself ready for tailgating. 656-8800.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In our segment six today, we've got Dr. Viet Bui, who is a member of the very fine team of physicians and optometrists there at Eye Associates of Tallahassee, part of this series that we've been doing here for the last several weeks in talking about our optic health and particularly not only diseases of the eyes, but some of the technologies that have been advanced in recent years that have made miraculous improvements to the business of ophthalmology as a medical practice. And the results are astounding in that people come away with vision that they may have never had before in their lives. So with that, let's introduce Dr. Viet Bui. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here with us as part of this beautiful series that we're doing, this entourage of folks coming from the ranks of Eye Associates. Now, your area of specialty includes corneal transplants, right?
That's correct.
Tell us about that.
So corneal transplantation is an invaluable technique to restore and rehabilitate vision for patients who have diseases of the cornea. The cornea is essentially the windshield of the eye. It's the window that allows you to look through the world, and it's critically important to have great clarity so that you can maintain that level of vision that is functional. Mm. And some patients can have inherited conditions that can compromise the clarity of the cornea, or you can experience infections from things such as contact lenses that will cause scarring that will compromise the vision. So being able to restore that clarity is critically important to give a view of the world that is functional for patients. Mm.
In your pursuit of this area of medicine, you growing up in Orlando, right, were you interested in this as a kid, or how did you get started?
Well, I think my interest in eyes stemmed from my interest in photography, kind of capturing what we see and trying to bring some emotion to the images that we have, and kind of experiencing that visually is really important. That drew me towards my interest in eye care.
Folks, I should tell you, Dr. Bui was not only from Orlando, but then attended University of Florida, graduated summa cum laude from U of F with a degree in nutrition and zoology. Now, am I out of bounds here in thinking that your interest in zoology was also tied to your interest in photography? So you were taking lots of pictures of animals.
Right. My interest in photography is landscapes and wildlife photography. Mm. So that kind of drew my interest in.
So you see, there's an integration here going on.
That's right.
Right. You still do quite a bit of photography then?
I do. Nowadays, it's still landscape, but because I have two young children, it's also a lot of pictures of the children.
Very cool. You have, in your career with Eye Associates, you've been there how long?
Almost 9 years now.
Wow. The practice has changed remarkably too, hasn't it?
It has. You know, we've kind of gone from originally a comprehensive care practice with general ophthalmologists, and we've have a direction now that we have a lot of subspecialty care, so we can bring the latest in regards to treatment of complex eye conditions.
Yeah. In your particular work with corneal transplant, this is the very first surface, right, that we can touch with our fingers and such. Injuries to that cornea, can they be repaired, or do they just have to be replaced?
Well, the injuries, depending on their severity, can lead to scarring, which can absolutely compromise the level of vision.
Okay.
So depending on that level of scarring, if it is in the center portion of vision, then we have to think of mechanisms to remove those scars, either by using lasers to sculpt away the scar, but I if see. They're very severe and very deep, then sometimes corneal transplantation is necessary.
And in the transplant process, in this particular kind of surgery, what kind of time frame are we talking about for a patient particularly?
Well, fortunately, at corneal transplantation, tissue is much more readily accessible. It does not require a person to essentially have...
wait for a donor or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so because the donor, someone who donates their eyes has passed away, that tissue actually can be harvested after they've passed. It doesn't have to be harvested.
Not like a lens.
That's right. And it's not like solid organs where they have to be harvested while the patient is still breathing and having a heart rate and kind of living. And so that's why tissue is much more readily available. So there isn't the long wait that we typically would experience with solid organs.
Mm. When you think of those folks, and you said you've been with eye associates 9 years, how has the technology changed that has made your practice even perhaps more precise or different in any way?
Well, in regards to corneal transplantation, some of the inherited conditions where the different layers of the cornea have been compromised, the technique in regards to doing these transplantations has evolved dramatically. Before, the entire cornea would have to be removed, a new one would be delivered and sewn into place, but with the new technology, the new techniques now, you can actually replace the specific area of the cornea that is diseased. And so recovery, which was once a year for these patients, it may perhaps be a month now for them to rehabilitate and restore their vision. So it's quite remarkable.
We're talking with Dr. Viet Bui, who for his part has contributed sizably here in the Tallahassee area as an ophthalmologist and a noted number of accolades along with his practice. He's board certified with the American Board of Ophthalmology, a dual fellow trained in glaucoma and cornea. You have chosen to be in Tallahassee for all these years, and with two small kids, you know, we talk about Tallahassee's family-friendly environment. What do you like most about Tallahassee?
I think you've hit upon it. I think the community here is supportive, whether it's professionally in the medical societies here or within our peers and family members and kind of our neighbors as well. There's a great amount of support that exists here. And the educational system here is remarkable from grade school on up to the universities.
So there's a lot of resource there for you. When you think about the future, where do you hope Tallahassee will go? Is it just the way you want it, or what are some of the things you hope we'll be able to achieve?
Well, I think the community, I would hope that it would continue to grow and to prosper. And I think it's exciting that there's a draw for us to bring more kind of technology within the community and to expand the level of education that we can provide within our local universities.
Yeah, certainly a lot of effort being made in that direction. Thank you for being with us. Very helpful. Much continued success to you. And thank you for all that you're giving back here to the Tallahassee community.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure. Dr. Viet Bui, our guest this morning in our Segment 6 feature. You stay with me. We've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merrymaids way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merrymaids makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back and we're talking with Tallahassee Fire Department Chief Jerome Gaines and our good new friend Kevin Peters, Director of Emergency Management there for the county. Okay, Kevin, so the chief has helped us better appreciate the fact that, given human nature, we all tend to play the odds and we think, it's not going to happen to me. I'll be fine. If that is our, we'll call it the human condition, what are you doing and the folks in your office doing to try to make us a bit more vigilant, make us a little bit more aware? We talked about the bucket campaign, right? Something that's been going on for now a couple of years. Yep. Is it working?
Well, yeah, we think it is. We had during our bucket event, there are a lot of people that were very appreciative of what we were doing. The event was much larger this year than in previous years. So people, it's fresh in their mind. They're thinking about it. It's not something we're going to go away from. We hope it will maintain that freshness and that awareness and that level of urgency that we hope people keep moving forward. Back to what Chief Gaines mentioned, the human nature kind of falling back into comfort.
Right.
Because we know that historically anywhere that's affected by hurricanes, it doesn't happen every year. It's a problem, I'd say probably nationwide, at least in our coastal states, where people live along coastlines, are subject to the risk from hurricanes. Mm. This is a challenge people in my profession, face from the Texas coast all the way up to the Northeast coast. So that's going to be a challenge. Some of the things that we are doing to hope, keep it fresh on a daily basis. We do have some new tools we've implemented for receiving just general severe weather warnings, other hazards that may happen throughout the year, because it's not just hurricanes. As we've seen, anything can become a major crisis in a community, from flooding to severe weather to even some of the human-caused terrorist or criminal activity that could occur. So at Leon County, we've rebuilt our Citizens Connect app. Initially, it was a service application. You want to get a pothole filled or report a damaged street sign.
You
could download the app, report it to the county, a crew will come out and take care of it.
Right.
We've added the emergency information piece to that now. So when you download that app, you're going to get the push notifications if it's, severe weather this afternoon,
okay,
or a flash flood watch.
Cool. And that's not Digitally. That's another app.
Yes, it's the Leon County's Citizen Connect app.
Okay.
The Digitally app, that is specific for the citizens,
right,
of City of Tallahassee. But
right,
again, if you live in City of Tallahassee, you can download the Leon County Citizens Connect app. You are a Leon County
citizen. So if I go to my Google store or whatever, iTunes, I can find Leon County Citizens app.
Yeah, the Google application store, the iStore, in the search box, Leon County Citizens Connect app, and it'll be right there.
Okay. Leon County Citizens Connect app.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. So let's all do that.
Yep.
Chief, you think that's a good idea?
It's a great idea.
It's a great idea. Okay. When we looked at last year's debacle, we had all these people coming at each other. Mm-hmm. You had the people who were actually getting the work done over here.
Mm-hmm.
So you had the mayor and the governor sparring with one another, and all of their colleagues and everybody kind of yelling at one another across the table. Where were you in all that? Were you part of that whole thing, or were you over here trying to help people?
Yeah, no, I was in the Emergency Operations Center leading the coordination effort with our all of our agencies and for those that may not kind of understand how the Emergency Operations Center works, if I may back up just a second.
Please.
On that.
Yeah.
We're located in the Public Safety Complex near Easterwood Drive.
Right.
We have agency representatives. We use what's called the Emergency Support Function in the state of Florida. It's counties plan that way, the state plans that way, even the federal government plans that way. Mm-hmm. 18 different functions, from transportation to communications, public works, fire services, incident planning, mass care and shelter, logistics, health and medical, search and rescue, hazardous materials response, food and water provision, utilities coordination, law enforcement support, animal services support, volunteers and donations.
Just a few things.
And, yeah, business industry coordination. So, yeah, so those are
this
all the functions.
This is all under your umbrella as an organization.
And, that's our job. That's to coordinate it. So there's different entities, different county, okay. city agencies, and they send their liaison to our office.
Wow.
And again, it's multi-agency coordination. Yeah. As Chief said earlier, it's not any one agency that's responsible for coming out and fixing
right.
the problem.
Right.
It's a unified effort. And that's what happens in the Emergency Operations right. Center.
People forget that when we're sitting in there in the Emergency Operations Center and all this is going on around us, or you have elected officials there and so forth that have braved the incident to come there.
Yeah.
They've left their families. They've left people that don't have power, that are trapped and so forth, because they're putting their commitment to the citizens before their own personal needs. Think about that.
Yeah.
My wife was at home by herself without power.
Yeah.
While we were there, people were there taking care of the needs of the citizens, because mm-hmm. that's the oath, pledge, commitment we made when we took these positions.
That's part of the
deal. And it's the same as the mayor, the commissioners, mm-hmm. or whatever. They didn't have to be there. They wanted to be there to show support for the people. I don't know about the rest of the stuff. All I can tell you is that's what I witnessed.
I think, in fact, that part of the story probably got muted. Mm-hmm. I don't think that people paid attention to the fact that behind
right.
all the furor going on and the finger pointing, I think a lot of that came from people who were observing the finger pointing, by the way. Yeah. There were people like you, Kevin, who were really just trying to get it done.
Exactly.
But I get back to this point about the infrastructure mm-hmm. itself being so badly damaged mm-hmm. that it doesn't matter how many times you flip that switch. There's nothing on the other end of that
right.
switch.
And that's, and that is a thing. And that's probably one of the places where an improvement can be made is just the education of what it takes.
Because now we're talking about cutting down trees and trying to make sure that we're not, sitting there like a sitting duck anymore.
When the power goes out during a storm, what you have to remember is that there are different layers and levels to the electric system. Mm-hmm.
And none of us understand that clearly on a
good day. I mean, we've probably all seen it. We've driven through the community. Yeah. How many crews does it take to do something electric's doing? Mm-hmm. And you see them in the morning when you leave your neighborhood. You see them in the afternoon on a planned project.
Right.
It takes a long time. It's not fast work.
Right.
And it's dangerous work.
It's dangerous work, yeah.
And I know the chief has responded mm-hmm. to calls where somebody's been electrocuted by an electric power line.
And like you say, that's on a fair weather day.
Right.
Let's put it at night in
right.
a storm.
Right.
And you got live wires laying
around. It's dangerous
on the ground.
Work.
Yeah,
the guys are going to work at the speed of safety.
Right.
And that's the key right there. They're going to work at the speed of safety.
Right.
And they've got to restore every piece from the power plant or wherever the power comes from.
Yep. Right down to my house.
Until they get to your house.
Yep.
And so that's a piece of education that you know, it's...
See, and that's my concern mm-hmm. in general about all of the PR campaigning. Mm-hmm. While... God bless you for saying y'all need to think about this. And mm-hmm. Chief's right. You know, we're complacent. You know, we get comfy. I wonder how many of us understand what really happens to make that power come from that point to my house. And you've ticked off, more than a dozen different agencies mm-hmm. involved and responsibilities that you have. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why you can't just get it done. What's the problem, Kevin? I mean, come on. What are you doing with your time, man? Yeah. You're a public official. You're on the payroll.
It's something that people, I hope you consider and remember is there's never been a hurricane that hit somewhere that didn't knock the power out.
Right.
It's not something that comes on in a day. I had the opportunity to, when Matthew came up the East Coast, I was able to... go on a deployment to St. John's County to assist their emergency mm-hmm. management team.
Mm-hmm.
And, got there the day after Matthew had passed their area. So the next morning, was there for 3.5 days. And, I mean, they had power outages for 3 days. I mean, it doesn't come back on. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's going to take days. It has always taken days. Our hurricane survival guide that we've printed for many years, probably close to 30 since Hurricane Kate, we've urged people to be prepared for up to 2 weeks food and water following a hurricane, because that's the lesson we learned in Kate.
We're talking with Kevin Peters. He is the Director of Emergency Management here for the county, along with our good friend and the friend of many, Chief Gaines, Tallahassee Fire Department. You stay with me. We got more.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So it seems, boys and girls, that preparedness is not only a very complicated business, mm-hmm. And it appears that it applies at a lot of different levels. So the question is, am I prepared? Those people who are in my household, are we prepared? We'll say in terms of supplies and provisions, yes. Are we prepared mentally? Do we have a kind of strategy? And do we have an awareness of our likelihood that it could happen to us, right? So that's kind of Chief's point here. He's saying, you know, it's easy to be complacent. We got to take it seriously and make ourselves think about the one thing that we think will never happen. What if it did happen? What would you do, right? So there's that level. Then you talk about the preparedness of organizations, mm-hmm. community services, and, you know, county managers, people like Kevin here who, God bless you. I mean, you're one of those guys who abandoned your family on a night when you would have just soon been home, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But that was, like you say, that was part of the deal. You signed up for that. We didn't twist your arm. Mm-hmm. So you're there doing your job best you can. So that's the next question, I suppose. Are we better prepared in terms of our ability to continue in our provision of such services as electrical power, right? What has happened, I guess, since Hermine, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier. I mean, is that the answer? We just need to clear cut enough trees so that we're not knocking down power lines? What about the power generation plant itself? I mean, what's the story?
Yeah, and that's, I think.
And have you not fixed that for us?
I think both of us, that would be a little bit difficult to answer because right. we're not with the electric department. I don't have all the details of yeah. everything they do. Yeah.
I can say this. What I do know is that we've seen a increase in training of our personnel, identifying the key essential people that we mm-hmm. need to have in mm-hmm. the EOC, mm-hmm. Updated, revised our emergency response plans, COOP plans, because it's just like with anything, people leave, and so you have to bring other people into it and make sure that they have that ability to get the task done. We're doing the things with the Build a Bucket program, where right. the applications right. as far as getting information out to people so they can go and hit an app and then get an update on any type of
Let's
emergency.
Ask it this way. So, okay, I get that mm-hmm. the, you know, the city utility, that's city business. Right. Administratively, what changes did either of you see happen whereby people said, okay, yeah, we could better communicate, or maybe we could better coordinate. How has that changed?
Well, I think in a context is, I hate to be sports or music, but we've had the opportunity to practice a lot. We've had training mm-hmm. sessions, and we've right. done exercises, but our last test was 2008, Tropical Storm Fay. we've had that an experience. We've been able to really truly validate these plans and the practice that we've done from the emergency response level.
Okay, but Hermine was last year.
Right, but follow me. So between 08 and 16, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, we're sitting back watching weather. We've had training sessions. We've had exercises. We've practiced.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we've updated plans over the years. But this experience, you don't really know until you know. And that's been our ability now to go back and say, oh, yeah, here we can, you know, we can improve how we communicate with the public. We need to add the push piece to our apps. Mm-hmm. We've partnered with WFSU Radio in particular. That was one of those things, you know, as the world moves, you know, social media and web, oh, yeah, make sure our information's there. We didn't quite tackle the staying in touch in the old style as we used to with FM radio, because when your cell phone goes dead, you don't have power in the house. You still can charge in the car, but if you turn on, and, you know, this is a little different, but you know, a lot of the FM stations, they're mega corporation, are all owned. It's not like WKRP with Les Nessman in the newsroom giving you updates.
That would be us.
Yeah. And so FM is a little different than it used to be. We can send them the press releases, but they may not have anybody in the studio. You know, a lot of it can be. So rethinking some of the ways we maintain those old styles of communication that we maybe didn't practice in the past. The experience, so I think, has helped us understand.
Okay, so communicating with the general public is your point, that you're trying to utilize more relevant technology to make that happen.
While not abandoning.
And some of the old as well. Yeah, right, okay.
To striking that balance.
Okay, so what went wrong? I mean, when we look at Hurricane Hermine and we look at the conflict that emerged, and we have the mayor out there doing videos in the neighborhoods around to say, hey, I'm out here, I'm making sure this is all okay. And we find out, but he doesn't really run the city anyway. Mm-hmm. So those are just press opportunities for him, photo ops. Or, you know, meanwhile, we've got stories about people arguing with each other and saying, well, you know, the governor is just trying to favor corporate power, and the city's trying to protect its own interests. I mean, that to me sounds like an administrative problem.
Yeah.
So the communication there is face-to-face. It's not using a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's about looking across the table and trusting the person that you're looking at. And I want to know, how has that changed? Is there a better climate there for city, county, state officials working together?
Well, I would say it is. I can tell you what, like I said, I personally witnessed myself. I mean, obviously, the county and the city, we're working together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Kevin and I work together. We train together. We prepare together. And I would say the same for the different county and city officials.
Right.
They understand the importance to the citizens that we all are on the same page.
I hear you.
And so I've seen that change. They're committed to making this work.
And the fact that you're all in the same place.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
A huge investment over here on Easterwood Drive in this building.
Think of it this way.
Yeah.
This is my understanding. Before I came here, this incident was the first time that they've truly put that consolidated system.
Which is Kevin's point, that, you know, we did a lot of practicing, we just practiced
and so,
for this.
You're going to have some bumps and things, and we recognize those things, and we are testing the system and the changes we've made now in order to avoid those in the future. Because think about this, the last time you had a huge hurricane was back in when?
85.
Technology.
Prior to Hermine. Yeah.
Technology was not so prominent as it is today.
That's pre-internet.
It's a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what I mean by that, yes, we have the apps to get information out to people, give people notifications so they can make the appropriate decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But in that same, on the other side of that, technology, because of that, when these incidents happen, people have the means to call in
or whatever to report something,
but they also want they want an answer instantaneously.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. I would agree.
And so as we go forward this year through this, God help us that we should have another hurricane. We don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps those of us should be a bit better prepared to think through what guys like Chief Gaines is doing, and what Kevin is doing over here at the county to try to take care of us, huh?
Right.
Okay. Folks, this is why we needed to have this conversation, and you guys hung in there with us. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
We will be in touch with you going forward, and we appreciate both of you and your families. for what you do for this county and for this city. Folks, that's what I've got for you this morning. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment. Our executive producer is Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next Saturday. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
So if you come to me and you say, I want to buy a house, the first thing I do is meet with you and say, okay, let's talk about this process. What can you afford? And not just purchase price, your lifestyle. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have here?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for any investor, in my opinion, affordable housing is something that we should be looking at. That means a purchase price of about $185 to $250, a rental income of about $1,000 to $1,500 max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career as a realtor nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.